Hey everybody, and welcome to the January episode of the Bantam Audiobooks podcast. So this one's kind of an experiment. I was listening to a podcast called The Unmade Podcast. I really enjoy it, and if you're into podcasting at all, well, I recommend that. And basically, they look at interesting podcast ideas that they don't think has ever been made, and they're not going to make them. And one of their ideas was a podcast where it's kind of like a book club, but instead of talking about the book, they're only really talking about the first line or so. It was a cool idea, and I decided to look at what it would look like in what I do. And it was really nice because, hey, it's January, time for beginnings. So why not look at beginnings of books? Another bit of housekeeping I'd like to do before we move on to the actual episode, which I recorded in the middle of December. And for some reason, I was really tired of reading at that point in time, maybe because I had recorded the other episode right before that. is that the Rosie Mucklestone story? I had a listener recommend that I ask her about that. Thank you for that, and if you have recommendations, please send them to me. I do try to do them. And with that, why don't we hop into the episode? Let's take a look at the first book. It's big. I'm going to have fun doing this around the microphone. It's Beowulf. And the first lines in the prologue is, well, the first sentence, "Hear me. We've heard of Danish heroes, ancient kings, and the glory they cut for themselves, swinging mighty swords." I believe that something similar to this is in many old myths and stuff, or epic poems and stuff. It's a way to start them. I believe Sir Gawain has it. I don't remember. We'll see. We're setting up here. It's saying it's a poem. Just mostly because of how it's set into the book. And we're talking about a hero or heroes, probably Danes or somewhat related to them. Yeah. And we don't really have much other than that. There will be fighting. We all know that there will be fighting in Beowulf, I hope. Okay, so this next book I'm going to look at is The Legend of Annie Murphy by Frank Peretti. It's been a while since I've read this one. Basically, you know what? No. Part of the reason I like the first couple, talking about the first couple lines, is it sets up, is if we look at it, it sets up what sort of story we have, and in a way that doesn't give us any spoilers and stuff, so we can discuss the first lines, and people who don't know about the story can be intrigued, but not spoiled. So yeah, the first lines of this are a little bit more mundane. It took a dare. A double dare for Pete and Jim to get Manny and Kyle to camp overnight with them in the middle of the old graveyard. Okay, maybe not so mundane. At first glance, it's mundane until you look at the old graveyard. Yes, graveyards. Gotta love those things. They're full of things like ghosts, which is quite fascinating because ghosts are mentioned in the back of the book. If you like that sort of thing, well, you might enjoy this. It's been a long time. It's a mystery. And it, like all of Frank Peretti's books that I've read, gets a little bit weird. So it's set in modern day. We should learn. It seems to be, at the very least, in a place that has history. So, yeah, Up next is Daniel Schwaber's Runt the Brave. I really like this book. It's been too long since I've read it, and I am debating if I should start with the first lines of the prophecy or chapter one. They both say very fascinating things. I will say that the prophecy tells you that this is a anthro story, so the main characters are mice. But then I'll do the first chapter, which is the coming of rats. At the edge of the dark forest, Jared, the field mouse, waited for the face of death to reveal itself. Well, that one as well sets up the mousiness of the story. It's a lot more obvious than the prophecy, but I like how the prophecy mentions large teeth and stuff like that, and that I feel is more effective. I like that it doesn't really tell, and which is one of those things that Daniel Schwaber mentions in his class a lot, but in the case of the first chapter, you kind of have to tell your readers what species your main character is if it's not, human. So, yeah. This one's been a long time as well. It's part of the Seven Sleepers, The Lost Chronicles series by Gilbert Morris. It's The City of the Cyborgs. And it starts with a very ominous note. First off, the chapter is named Captured. But in The City of the Cyborgs, we start out with what doesn't seem to be a cyborg. Instead, a vulture. The only thing moving in the sky above was a single vulture. If you know anything about this series, you know this is a post-apocalypse one. Set in a post, yeah. And so, yeah, an empty sky may not be as foreboding there, but the fact that it's a vulture, I think we can all agree that something bad is going to start happening. That was fun. Let's go to a classic now. Boy, classics are going to abound for the next couple minutes. This one is Treasure Island by Stevenson. Love this book. I really haven't read it for a very long time. I feel like this is the common thing. But, yeah. I've got newer books to read, like Rosie's. So, the first chapter, The Old Sea Dog at the Admiral Benbow, starts with Squire Trenwisley. I love his name. Dr. Livesley and the rest of these gentlemen having asked me to write down the whole particulars about Treasure Island from the beginning to the end, keeping nothing back but the bearings of the island, and that only because there is still treasure not yet lifted. I take my pen in the year of grace 17 and go back in time when my father kept the Admiral Benbow Inn and the brown old seaman with a saber cut first took up his lodging under our roof. As a reader, we can see a lot about this. We're going to talk about treasure. It's probably going to be a slow burn beginning because we don't start off with something terribly ominous. And we are going to have a lot of run-on sentences. Yes, that was one sentence. And I am checking because that seems very, very long. Yeah, one sentence. God, I love these one-sentence paragraphs. So yeah, we don't know much. There's going to be treasure and the sea, so we've got pirates. Yay! But we also know that we're not going to start out on the high seas because we're starting out at an inn. Let's do something that may or may not have a shorter thing. Actually, no, this one will have a short one because I know what it is. It's very simple. In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. Yes, this is J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit. Beginnings like this are kind of interesting because they don't set up anything except that we have a hobbit. If you've read the, I guess they're prequels, or the sequel to this, in the order that they were written, then, or published at least, then you'll know what a hobbit is, sort of, and you'll probably guess at who this hobbit is. It's this first sentence doesn't really set up much other than that we have a hobbit and he lives in the ground. And we go on, and if you look, it's a very slow burning beginning. We don't really go very adventurous for very long, but we do get dwarves very quickly singing songs and stuff, so that's fun. I'm kind of scared about two of these, so I will start with this next one, which I know is going to be hard. It's the Iliad by Homer, or attributed to Homer. I'm not sure if we know that it's by him. I can't remember. It says it's Homer. Let's find the first period. Lovely. Anger, be now your song, immortal one. Achilles' anger, doomed and ruinous, that caused the Achaeans loss on bitter loss, and crowded brave souls into the undergloom, leaving so many dead men, caring for dogs and birds, and the will of Zeus was done. If you know how to pronounce those better, I would love for you to tell me. And this wasn't quite as bad as our friend Stevenson's, in that it was much shorter, but definitely was difficult, mostly because we have names that I can't pronounce. If you know how to pronounce them, please tell me. That was fun. And hey, while we're thinking about hard to pronounce names, let's not do those. Let's go to a more modern author again. Bill Myers. This is My Life as an Alien Monster Bait. This will probably be quite entertaining rather than the cut and dry of some of the older ones. It tells us nothing. So chapter one is called Just for Starters, and the first sentence was science class was created for sleep. I disagree, but you can think what you want. And that's all we know about this from the first sentence. In fact, the second sentence doesn't help much. That's pretty obvious. Which is the second sentence. We don't really get much info on the plot until I don't even know when. It's ridiculous. It's not really a slow burn, though, because it's a comedy, and the main character, Wally McDougall, kind of rambles on. So, yeah. It's quite interesting how all the different genres and ages seem to work together. Be different and stuff. Let's go to the beginning of a series that that I at least like, and many of the people I've talked to who listen like as well. It is the first in the Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, The Magician's Nephew. The first chapter is called The Wrong Door. That honestly tells us more about the story than the first sentence. The first sentence does tell us the time period, but it doesn't tell us much else. This is a story about something that happened long ago, when your grandfather was a child. So, yeah, it tells us the time frame, and the next sentence doesn't tell us much, but it does tell us that is how all the comings and goings between our own world and the land of Narnia first began. And if you're at all invested in Narnia, well, that means a whole lot. Okay, we're going to go visit Tolkien again. But instead of writing, he's going to be translating, and I hope that this is easy to read because it is the first sentence. Maybe not. We'll see how this goes. About the first two lines of the poem, Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. Because we have here another ridiculously long sentence. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines. I've written shorter stories. So apparently I can write some of my stories in less than a paragraph. Because, well, it's poetry, so does it really have paragraphs? I don't know. It doesn't have the break until quite a ways away. This is about the third of the way to the first break, so end of the first stanza. So I can write shorter stories than the first stanza. So yeah, this will be fun. When the siege and the assault had ceased at Troy, and the fortress fell in flame to firebrands and ashes, the traitor, who the contrivance of treason in their fashion, was tried for his treachery, the most true upon earth. That's quite fascinating. It tells us the time, roughly. This is set far back, far farther back than I expected, though I suppose that, because we're thinking knights and stuff, we're thinking fully encased armor, and we know that this probably wasn't around the time at Troy. So I'm assuming this is more of the pre-Saxon, or would it be Saxon? I'm not very good at my history. Yeah, it would be the first knights in the area of the first actual knights. They were probably a little bit more than a mounted soldier. This distinction had begin at this point in time, but it probably hadn't progressed too far. But I really don't know. If anybody here is an expert at this, please tell me. I'm very fascinated by this. So yeah, it tells us the place, and it tells us that we're probably at Knights. And the reason I stopped there is because there's a name that I can't pronounce. I know I can't pronounce because it's got pronunciation guides, and I don't even know how to read this particular style. So either that or it's a different letter and stuff. Now for our second last story, we've got Wayne Thomas Batson's Isle of Swords. Papa, I'm scared. And so begins a great story. It sets up fear, maybe not a conflict, but it sets up fear and somebody to love. Because I really do think that most of us, at least in stories, love children quite quickly off the bat. And this is quite obviously a child. It is in fact a little girl. And so, yeah, this will be a fascinating book. Well, if you would read on, you would quickly learn that it is a seafaring book. And, I mean, the name itself lends it to that. Isle of Swords. This may be looking at, we might have pirates in our hands.